Welcome to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast, where in every episode we explore what is research culture and what should it be. You'll hear thoughts and opinions from a range of contributors to help you change research culture into what you want it to be.
Hi, welcome to the latest edition of the Research Culture Uncovered podcast. My name's Jed Hall and I'm the Researcher Development Team Leader. And my specialism in researcher development is research impact. And I'm here with one of my other co-hosts on the podcast, Ruth Windon. So Ruth, do you want to say hi?
Hi, Jed, and hi, listeners. My name is Ruth Windon. I'm the Careers with Research Consultant here at the university, and my specialism is in my job title. I'm all things careers.
Yeah, that's absolutely. You are all things careers. And I think what we're talking about today, is actually what we're doing at the University of Leeds for research professionals within that careers focus, aren't we? So, you know, I've been at the university quite a bit longer than you. So over the years, we've had bits and pieces for research professionals, but in some ways we haven't had a concerted focus on them. We've probably really let them to kind of get their career, you know, professional development to some extent, maybe not so much careers development from external associations like ARMA, you know, the Association of Research Managers and Administrators here in the UK. And actually the instigation of our research culture strategy kind of made us all go, are we really supporting the whole of the research community if we're really focusing just on researchers? So that's kind of made us take a step back, hasn't it? Really, that was great. And in terms of that chiming with when you came to the university and certainly have helped us move that on.
And I think we need to clarify the term research professionals, because our universities are all about jargon, aren't they? And you might know the term as research adjacent or research support. Jed and I, we don't like the word research supporters because it's a lot more than support. These are the kind of people who make research happen without being researchers themselves. So they could be working commercialization, there could be project managers, you know, running the big grants, they could be in finance, they could be specialists in the library. What they do is they work with the researcher community doing and, you know, making research happen. And it's a sizable group at the university, isn't it, Jed?
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the difficulties for us in terms of reaching that community, because in some respects, you know, although it's still a challenge, it's been much easier to pull, you know, people on research contracts together in terms of a distribution list, and we know which faculties they're in and all those sorts of things that we might want to segment. But actually for the research professionals community, which also includes research technicians, you know, people might be just employed on a specific grant, or they might be, as you said, in the library. We count as research professionals in that really broad definition of it too. So actually it's been really difficult to kind of pull a distribution list together. So that was one of the kind of initial challenges in some of the ideas that we're going to talk about today, wasn't it?
Absolutely. But the good thing is, you know, you and I, and you have even better networks at the university. Everyone at the university knows who Dr. Jed Hall is. And we just had to pull in favors, didn't we? But the response was wonderful. Everyone thought, oh, brilliant. We want to support you. We'll help you. We'll share the events that you're planning. You know, we'll help find the right people to support you and contribute. So that just made it a little bit easier, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. So shall we take people back to the beginning
when that kind of
realization hit us and what we did first? So essentially it changed its name a couple of times. It was initially called Research Adjacents Careers Conversations, and then it became Research Professionals as we settled on that term at the university. So Do you want to give people a bit of an overview about that program and how it's changed the couple of times we've done it?
Yeah, so Jed and I, we both love working with peer learning groups, and we felt knowing how isolated they can feel, a peer-based, a group-based program would be ideal. And but we both work in this way regularly, and it's very popular and often transformative. So we decided to run a pilot and have 8 bi-weekly sessions with a group of 16 research professionals. And we wanted to give them the space, the headspace, but also, the time to, come together, reflect on who they are, where they want to go, what their challenges are, how to make these things happen in a really supportive, constructive environment. So we piloted that in the first round, and I think it was a joy. We had such commitment from people. You could just see, how the relief they were in a really safe, confidential space. They could get to know colleagues really well and have time and headspace for, things that in their really busy lives they hardly ever have time to reflect on. And we must mention the notebooks. Jed and I were adamant that we would not bring in any computer screens or anything, and we want to give plenty of reflection time. And I'm quite old-fashioned. I like to write things down. There is a lot of, there are many reasons why journaling works. So we ventured out and got our group some beautiful notebooks, and they cherished them, didn't they, Jed? So it was a lot of, conversations. We obviously spent time thinking, okay, what would we cover? But it was very much driven by our participants. We're extremely flexible, Jed and I. We spend a lot of time understanding what you need, how can we deliver that? And we had our own plans in our minds, I think, but we quickly realized the group needed something slightly different. And so we were very flexible in providing that, weren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of those programs where you kind of feel like you have a curriculum, and then you look back at what you actually delivered, and it was kind of like, well, there's probably, maybe 20%, 30% of the curriculum we thought of, and we knew we weren't going to go, right, session X is this, session Y is that, that it really would be that co-produced program, which is important when you're piloting something, because you really do want people to feel like their feedback actually really matters. And therefore, if you aren't adjusting as you go along, then I don't think you're honoring that commitment that you're expecting from people. I think I also have to kind of you could tell that your family history was very much in the stationery business when it came to the choice of the notebooks. I thought I was a stationery snob, but you took it to absolutely the next level, Ruth.
Yes, but just think how well received they were. And I found that wonderful. Somebody said, "This is the best thing I've ever had at the university," because it was a high quality notebook, and they loved them. They were colorful, they used them. And yes, my family history in the paper industry. But hey, thank you, Dad, for teaching me how to differentiate between rubbish paper and really good paper to write on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've done two of those programs now, and I think it's kind of suddenly struck us, and I mean we knew that scalability would be an issue with something that's as rich as that. I mean, we have reduced the number of sessions in that second program. We went with 6 bi-weekly. We think from the evaluation, it still was hitting the mark with those individuals. So, that reduction in time hasn't affected it overly, but it's still difficult to kind of get the throughput, because one of the challenges, as I said, is reaching those people. So it's also a challenge to count those people. So we've really had to do an estimate of how many do we think there are? And, we came up with there's at least 700 plus. And when we talked about it with Emily Ennis, who's our research culture manager, she's also done an analysis separately. And I think she came to over 800 of number of people at the university who could fall under that very broad category. So we kind of went, well, how do we scale? we really have to think through that challenge, and it stumped us for quite some time until we got a kick from Emma Sparry, didn't we?
She always pushes us, doesn't she? But in a really good way. And she encourages us to think big. And Jed and I, we did think big and came up with, why don't we do something that's actually, as far as we know, has never been done in the sector? And that is dedicating a whole day on career development for research professionals. And we got together with our wonderful project manager, Katie Jones, and then basically since the autumn 2024, we put a lot of effort into, okay, let's make that a really special day. And there were three things that we knew from all those interactions with our colleagues, we knew that they needed, and was number one, we really want to develop our networks. We want to really connect with our colleagues and understand who's who and get over that isolation. That was number one, networks. The second thing was the complexity of careers for research professionals. There's so many different career options, different roles. And even when you have the same job title, the way you do the role, depending on where you are in the university system and the ecosystem, can be very, very different. And then the third one was we want more specific career development workshops. So we had the networking, we want to understand all the career options. And the other thing is, we want to really, attend different career workshops. And so that's what we did. That was really the gist of the day. And looking back, I think, yeah, the feedback has shown, we really hit the mark there because we gave plenty of time to network. We had a conversation, at the end of the day with, okay, who wants to be part of it? How do we do this? We had this careers session after lunch, all this slot after lunch when everyone is a bit tired. And that was a really neat little way I stole from career thought leaders and their conferences when I was there in the US. It's basically you have different tables in the room and you have different representatives with different roles sitting at the tables. And everyone who came to the day moves to different tables every 15 minutes, depending on their interests. And what was so lovely, I thought, was that so many volunteers from our community came forward to man, or man is the wrong word here, to sit at those tables and and share extremely openly. This is what I do, this is what I like, this is what's challenging, and this is how I got here. I mean, I was obviously eavesdropping all the time because I was running the session, and there was some really good stuff being discussed with people, real eye openers, and it was a nice buzz to it. And so, yeah, the three combinations, giving people space to network and really get a sense of their community, understanding more about the different roles and what they entail and how you get in and what is possible, and then the three career workshops. And Jed and I, we both ran one, and then Emma Sperry also ran one, didn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. And we've probably glossed over some of the details that maybe listeners are thinking about, because we were open to people almost without any grade limits. It wasn't for just grades X and Y. So we just went to the whole community. Like as I said, we did that estimate. We kind of tried to find the ways to reach those different communities. So we didn't put any grade boundaries on it. I mean, we didn't think it might appeal to people on director levels, but we also didn't exclude them either. So there wasn't that. So it was definitely self-selection, being the driver of who turned up. And we did reach out into that community too to ask for volunteers, and they were amazing, all the people that we that held their hand up and came along and contributed ideas or facilitated sessions or were case studies, live case studies, so they could be asked questions and hopefully people go away with some pertinent advice that might be useful to them. So it was it was a really interesting day. Should we go into a bit more detail in terms of those parallel workshops? Because you've mentioned the kind of round table, which actually, just while you're thinking about it, as you were describing the round table, One of the things I've really learned from listening to Sarah McCluskey's Research Adjacent podcast is that kind of sideways, upwards, downwards, some just to get to the right place, the place that you want to be in your career. And it's almost that exploration. So I think that was, that was a really interesting thing to kind of sit down and go, okay, I've never thought about being a in the research services bit of the library, but what does that mean? What are the jobs like over there? How do you frame yourself and your expertise so that you might be competitive if you wanted to move in that direction, if it sounded interesting for you? So yeah, that was great. So
And if you are someone who plans these kind of events, just to be absolutely transparent, we ran three workshops in parallel and then ran it twice because we felt that gave people then the opportunity to absolutely secure, their two favorite topics out of the three. And three workshops would have been too much, and it would have eaten into important time for networking and sharing that experience together on the day. So I, as a career professional, I obviously have a lot of conversation with colleagues about career development at the University of Leeds and beyond. And for me, it was really important in that 1 hour session, I wanted to work with Emily, another of our podcast hosts, with Emily Goodell on career development internally and answering and maybe busting that myth about that the only way is up, because that's what I discuss so much with colleagues at the university. Many people only ever think career progression is straight upwards, but we all know that that is not always the easiest route and not always a possible route. And so I really wanted to work with people on exploring other ways to develop your careers, maybe diagonally, maybe sideways, maybe going out on a secondment, maybe coming back in, or maybe leaving. That is always an option if you feel stuck and you need to progress and there are no opportunities coming your way. There are other places where you can get that experience and then maybe come back in the future at a more senior level or explore new pastures. And that was amazing what we could actually do in 1 hour. And yes, typical Ruth Winden, I brought in my creative methods, which was so popular. I'll never forget this participant storming into the workshop. She saw all the postcards on the table and said, "Oh my God, that looks like such an exciting session." And I thought, okay, I've won her over already. Brilliant. Let's work together. And then Emma Sperry, she ran a session on how to, think about your achievements, your accomplishments in your role, and how to present those in a story structure. This is a very, it's a very f fund fundamental and well-used structure, the challenge action result. Or you might know the situation task action result. And so Emma spent an hour with participants, helping them really understand, reflect on their achievements, and then crafting these stories, which are so important, whether you're introducing yourself somewhere or you're writing a promotions application or you're going for a job interview. You have them on your LinkedIn profile. Obviously, considering what you put out there has to be in the open domain. And Emma ran that in an hour. She ran it twice, and that also got really good feedback. It was a very hands-on practical, whereas I just challenged people a lot, and we had some really open and frank conversations, and I thought that was so important, but very, very constructive, and people were so open and honest. And I was really happy to see what you can actually do in a 1 hour workshop, because you know me, Jed, I like to go long, and long is not always the answer.
I know, yes, it was interesting when in the design and the planning that to keep you constrained. But it's interesting, isn't it? Another wonderful example of brilliant stationery winning people over. So yeah, we also did a session on secondments.
Yeah, that was yours, wasn't it, Jed?
It was, yeah, and I was helped by the amazing Abby Rowson from Horizons Institute. So Abby does some research management in the Horizons, which is very early stage. It's about interdisciplinarity, but it's about stimulating those early stage ideas of it for interdisciplinarity. So hopefully I've given a very, very accurate very small thumbnail of what Abby and the Horizons Institute's role is at the university. But it was brilliant. Abby's just in the process, and I think it's coming to an end now. It's been renewed a couple of times, but it was kind of a case study based session, and we almost ran it a bit like a podcast interview, and then allowed participants to ask questions as well at different points through the. We didn't actually record it, but we could have done, and we ran it in that style. So people were asking questions about it. I think the key thing. So although Abby's secondment was external to the university, so at the City Council in Leeds, I think the really important thing that came from that is think business case. You know, when you're talking to your manager about a potential secondment, wherever that is, wherever it might be, whether that's internal to the university or external, you have to think, what's in it for me? What's in it for them as my manager? And what's in it for the host that might be offering the secondment? Because essentially, all three of you have got to win.
Absolutely.
From the secondment. And I think sometimes there can be an almost incorrect way that thinking that secondments will always be advertised. And I kind of go, yes, there are very formal ones where maybe an organisation is, you know, internal or external to the university, has identified a gap, knows it can't do a permanent role in that because it's maybe project based or is just a finite piece of policy development or something like that. So it might go, we are very open to secondment. In fact, it might be advertised as secondment, but they're quite rare, actually, especially when you look at the number of secondments that do happen. Most secondments come from that, I'm going to explore this. I might have already done some job shadowing over there. I might have got that agreed. And I can kind of see how I can build a piece of work that will be valuable to all three stakeholders actually in that secondment. And I think that's the crucial aspect. I mean, some people kind of said, so the university has a secondment policy, and yes, we do. But the thing about policies is that they describe a principle. It's the business case that makes them operational. Mm. You know, it's that win-win-win for all
Absolutely.
Three hosts that's important.
And funny, in our session on how to manage your career, secondments also came up because, you know me, I'm a big fan of secondments, but we also discussed secondments are not possible for everyone, especially sometimes, you know, research professionals are in specific have their own fixed term employment, you know, so it's not always easy, but there are also, you know, they're obviously the full secondments, but they're also what I would call probably shorter secondments. You know, it could be work shadowing, or it could be, you know, just half a day. You know, it doesn't have to be, oh, I'm out of my role for 3 months or whatever, and then I come back in. So there's so many different ways of having a secondment. And we need people to be creative and proactive. I think that's what you and I always say. It's not falling into your lap. You know,
no,
you need to
absolutely.
Really be, and you need to be strategic. So I am, as a career professional, say, right, what do you actually need to learn in that secondment? What's the gap you're trying to close, and where do you get that? It's not about having, oh, you know, a nice experience. There has to be a reason behind it, and it has to work for your manager and for the team, for the university, because you want to come back with an enhanced skill set and more experience, and that has to be relevant to your environment too.
I mean, that's that backfill issue is one of the biggest blockers. But I think that's when we go, do you know, I'm going to be away for 3 months. That's absolutely tough to do. When it's much more flexible, and if the types of work support that flexibility, that's when it's easier. In a few weeks, I'll actually be interviewing Mary Daniels. So she's a program manager for some funded work from the Engineering and Physical Sciences Research Council. That's supporting the career development of research technicians in robotics and autonomous systems. So there's a specific focus. And it's a 3-year program. It's got technicians as co-eyes on that application. And that was identified in the kickoff meeting, that backfill issue, because often research technicians have a very specific skill set that is very hard to find in any other individual, certainly within the institution. So they're looking at, I'd be really interested to see the ideas that program's come forward to try and solve that. So kind of listeners, if that's an issue for you, kind of look out for that episode dropping, and hopefully Mary might have some suggestions for answers that they've tried and which have been successful, because I know they were exploring possibly institutions seeing their research technicians as being pooled, so that if you were backfilling, you backfill from, Sheffield or something like that, if the person was up for it. And actually, that means that so many people are getting a secondment opportunity out of that one secondment opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming back to the careers day, I think one thing I absolutely loved was the atmosphere. I don't know, I've been trying to figure out what was it. I think it was just some combination of people really hungry for it, coming with a very open mind, being curious, being open to talk to everyone. It just felt such a celebration. We also did it has to be said, in a very nice venue for very good reasons, because we felt, we want to have this in a really nice environment, because an environment, that is conducive to having those conversations. And also, what I thought was lovely was that, two of our very senior leaders made time for it. So Professor Kat Davies, our Dean for Research Culture, she opened it up for us, and I read the transcript again the other day, because Helleth did record some of the sessions for our podcast, and some of the inclusions are on our podcast here. And yeah, basically, make the most of the day, pave your career path. And then we also had Professor Nick Plant, our Deputy Vice Chancellor of Research and Innovation. He also came at lunchtime and, paid us a visit, and he seemed to thrive in that environment, and he really enjoyed connecting with people and, and giving some very, very clear messages to all of us. And yeah, and then I think the way you ended the day with, the networking and picking up on that enthusiasm, and us encouraging people to think, okay, what's next? What ideas do you have? And oh my word, did they have big ideas? We thought we were thinking big, Jed, and then
I know, we're still digesting a lot of those ideas, aren't we?
I know. I mean, and some amazing stuff. I mean, even bigger. But also, it must be said, we had 50 people there, but we had twice as many applicants. So there is a real appetite for this. And so I'm so pleased to say we had a review meeting. And obviously, it all depends on funding and all the rest, but Jed, Katie, and I, we actually decided it's definitely worth doing another one. And you'll hear all about it, provided we can find the resources and the money to do it. But Jed, what else can we say? What have we learned from the Careers Day?
That's a really good question. So I think that first and foremost is, internally for us, I think there's that blinkers, that we, when we're doing research or development, and this is where you have to be careful of the bleeding of terminologies, but we have to be supporting all of those in research. So I think that's a key learning for me. I do offer sessions for people in impact research professional roles, and I think that's something we should broaden out, and we will be doing. We'll be putting more specific research professional career sessions on your Careers Boost program. So I think that's an important learning for me. I think the other thing is is time and space, actually, having that time and space. So the program offers one way of providing time and space. The Careers Day provides a different way of providing time and space, and the Careers Day is more scalable, as long as you have the budget for catering and the things like that. So, but in some ways, doing networking events like that is always scalable. You don't always need to do it for a full day, and I think that's important. One of the things that struck me was I know of all these types of career paths. There are, you said I know everybody at the institution. There are some parts of the institution I really do not know, even though that part of the institution is fully 100% part of the research ecosystem at Leeds. So I think that doing more work to break down the silos, not just between disciplines, but between professions. So by disciplines, research disciplines, by professions, maybe people doing technical work, maybe people doing grant development, maybe people like us doing doing people development and organization development. So breaking down all those silos wherever they exist is really important. So those are kind of my key things, and I think that really happened a lot on the day, that people learned much more about how the research ecosystem happens within our own institution.
And I read some feedback also from people who are in more junior roles. That's their words, not mine. And they said, oh, they really found it so helpful because they realized what wonderful colleagues they have beyond their teams, beyond their institutes, maybe, and how generous everyone was and how open and honest in providing feedback. So I can actually see some informal mentoring happening already. And another thing that I take away from the day is we're now at the stage, Jed, aren't we, that we can go strongly forward co-creating, because so far a lot of our work has been, testing things out, talking to people, and taking a lot of information in and taking people's opinions and needs and wishes on board. And it felt like even if there's no formal network as such, we know the people better who are out there, and we got so much goodwill in saying, I want to be part of the future. And so when we think about, okay, if we can have another day in the next academic year, we would now work directly with, we would invite people in and say, let's co-create that even more so than in the first round, because now we have that foundation, haven't we?
Yeah, I think that's important. All of those. So we had volunteers helping us deliver the day. In fact, we wouldn't have been able to do it on our own in the slightest. So yeah, those volunteers, but just bringing people together then unearthed loads more volunteers who were keen to contribute as well as benefit from the expertise across the whole of that. If Emily's right, I hope she is, 800 people.
Yeah, and what's great is also through our connections with the White Rose Partnership, Dr. Karen Hinksman, she was so impressed with the day. And so she said, is there any chance that I can use the model and then use it for the White Rose Partnership? So that will be research professionals from Sheffield, York, and Leeds. More or less, I mean, the career workshops will be different, but sort of the structure of the day and the opportunity to network between three universities that are part of the White Rose Partnership here in the north of England, and I thought that was really lovely. And guess what? We're contributing to that day too, because we're so passionate about research professionals and collaborating however we can. So it's lovely to see the program. Yes, we had it once at Leeds. Now it's running for the White Rose. And yeah, who knows what's next, but we definitely want to do our Leeds Day again next year. And also, Jed, I have to nail you down, but we need to find time in our diaries, because the career conversations, we will continue that as well. And so there is a lot on offer. And on the 22nd of July, also Dr. Sarah McCluskey, who we admire so much, she comes to Leeds and works for us from time to time to run workshops for what she calls research adjacents. We call them research professionals. So there is a longer career development session coming on the 22nd of July, because for me, it was really important to offer something to people to think through, how are you strategic about those career moves and what do you need to do to make them happen? So that builds on the 1 hour workshop I ran for our careers day and the many conversations we've had in the past. So it's all coming together. And it's, and I must say, Jed, I mean, I know we're very complimentary because we're so different, but it's always such fun working with you. I always learn a lot. And yeah, it's a joy. And I so much enjoy working with our colleagues and have a lot of respect for them. So, just as a final little story, I work with a project manager in the Faculty of Biological Sciences from time to time. She came into my session and I happened to bump into her in the corridor and said, "Oh, what did you think?" And we had a good conversation about it. And she had taken so many actions already. That was only 5 days after our event. And I thought, yes, that's why we do this kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think luckily Helleth, one of the other co-hosts, did a few mini interviews on the day. So we're going to end the episode with a few clips from them saying what they found out about the day. So hopefully that's of interest to you listeners if you're thinking of doing something similar.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for the conversation, Jed. And let's bring our colleagues in.
Okay, we're here. The careers day has finally arrived. How are you feeling today, Katie? You've been involved in all the organisation. How are the nerves?
I think the nerves have gone now, and I'm really excited to see what the day will bring. Meeting new people, networking, and building a research professionals community, and seeing where we can go from here.
I think what is most exciting me is that on the introductory Padlet, I saw there's lots of different people working in various aspects of research that I'd not even heard about. So I'm quite a junior role at the moment. I'm really excited to just learn about all the different routes that there are in research and how we can all be part of helping create the future.
So what are you most curious about today?
I'm most curious about the other roles available within research. So my role primarily is working with academics who have research grants, but I'm quite intrigued to see, you know, what else goes into kind of the research. So how the kind of careers are built, how else the university supports them, and what roles are available.
So today is about career development. A key theme today is career agency and your kind of proactivity in shaping your career. You know, careers don't just happen, right? They're shaped. And, you know, shaping a career is almost a full-time job in itself. It's quite a slog sometimes, but it's really exciting. I think whether you're kind of early in your career journey or more experienced, you know, these opportunities kind of pop up and disappear as you're on that, sorry to use the J word, on your journey. So I think having this community of practice with this diversity of people and career stages is also really enriching to that. So my encouragement for you today is to take a chance to explore, to reflect, stretch yourselves, do something that you maybe wouldn't have normally done. You'll have a chance to learn from peers in the workshops and in the roundtable sessions to connect across those roles and across the discipline. So please use today as a launch pad for yourself. Form those networks, ask those questions, spark new ideas. I want to acknowledge the work of ODMPL, Research and Development and Culture team, whose faces we saw just before, and all of you who are leading sessions today. Thank you very much for your time. So enjoy the day. As I said, take up space, challenge, connect, and look forward to catching up over lunch. Okay, so you've just had a workshop on car stories. How did you find that?
Yeah, I think it was a really good opportunity to take a step back and think about some of the examples of where I've taken an action and the result of it, and thinking in my kind of forward plan in terms of career development about what those different car stories are for the most common sort of requests. Is that all?
Yeah, I think very well received. I think the whole structure of that round table discussion, I think it really gives people a really actually quite a good insight into what it takes to build a career. And I think one thing that came out from our table is that kind of switch from one, you go down one path, things don't work out, you then have to kind of change your plans and you sort of take a sidestep or you move on to a different role. And I think it's being open to that, I think, is one of the things that maybe people took away from our discussion, but also that, you know, the need for support from a manager, to have an open-minded manager. I think it's really, I mean, I knew it before, but I think really I'm sort of almost taken aback when I think about all the things that I did do to kind of get to, and it was down to having somebody that was you know, supportive of me doing that.
That felt like a unanimous voice across the room, actually.
Yeah, I think it's vital.
Yeah. Do you have anything to add?
I think one of the things that came out quite strongly is that universities are such enormous institutions, and there's such a diversity of career paths, but they're not always visible, and people sometimes feel like shunted down or funneled down specific quite niche areas. So I think one of the things that people were saying would be really beneficial is to almost like shadow or understand what other people do, and also have the support from their manager to train and see what other opportunities are available for them. You know, in such a large organisation, it's important to make sure that people have direction.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And I think helping people to really make the most of the experiences they've had, and really to be aware of what skills and talents they've got, and how to promote and market yourself as an individual in a research adjacent role, and how to take the experiences that you've had, whether that's been very positive experiences through having a very supportive line manager, even if it's been more difficult experiences where you've had to try and navigate through short-term contracts or other challenging situations, but to really try and encapsulate what you've learnt in each of the different experiences you have, and be able to tailor or present that for future job opportunities. I think that came over from our discussions.
Brilliant. Thank you for your reflection. Also, you know, what are you finding? How are you finding the day so far? What workshops have you been to?
So I went to the secondment and the internal career pathways workshop. I think it's a sign of a good event when you could have benefited from every single parallel session, but you can only pick two. So definitely more to explore. And if there was another one, if I get the chance, I would come back and do the other two workshops.
Okay, so how do you think the day is going in terms of career professionals? Has it been a good day so far?
It's been a fantastic day, actually, and it's great to see so many people here enjoying the network, potentially, that is going to be developed. I was really keen to share my experiences of being on secondment, and I've had loads of feedback and questions from people who didn't realise that that might be an opportunity for them. So I'm really pleased to have been able to kind of talk about my experience, and hopefully people will take that away and build on their career.
I just wanted to say a couple of bits to set the scene and why I think days like this are really important, and I'm pleased we're at the stage where we can have them. So I get to spend a lot of time standing in front of lovely, beautiful people like you with one of these things attached to me. And when I look back at all of those various sound bites, genuinely, the one piece of comms that I did that I am most proud of is the Further Together campaign. So hands up if you know what the Further Together campaign is. Okay, those of you who do not, which was the vast majority, I'm not upset at all. go and Google it, or if you're unlucky enough to have an email from me, it's in the signature of my email. Further Together was a campaign that we ran 2 years ago now. And the whole point of it was the research ecosystem only works when we all work together. We go further together. It's not all about the absolute stellar academic PI. It's not all about the absolutely stellar person in the research admin office. It's about how we all work together. And it was a series of case studies where we would look at an example where, for example, one of our clot busting drugs that Helena Philippou's spin out company is producing, that only got to the stage where it will now be in clinical trials, hopefully saving lives, because of the PI working with her technicians, working with the postdocs, working with the commercialization team, working with the post-award team in terms of finances. All of those people come together to make that happen. So if you want to understand why you are all important in our research ecosystem, go and have a look at those case studies, because they demonstrate that everything we do as an institution requires everybody in the institution. It's not just about one person or another, it's about working as a team. So for me, this is one of my passionate projects. The final thing I'm going to say is, I talk about building a career. And I am pretty certain that the guys running the workshop today have told you about how you can build your career at Leeds. I'm going to be absolutely mercenary and say, I want you to be the very best you can be at the University of Leeds. Not just for you, but for me. My objectives involve you all being successful. So it's in my interest, I help you develop and get you to be the best that you can be. But I also want to be absolutely honest that in, I was going to say 40 years' time, I'm hoping I'm not here in 40 years. In 10 years' time, when we hold this event again, I thoroughly expect to not see half of you. Why? Because part of building your career at the University of Leeds is building your way to have a career elsewhere as well. We want to give you the skills to be successful. That will may well be at the university. It might also be somewhere else. That, to me, is a success. So that idea that we move through and we look for different roles is a really important part of not just building your career, but actually building that ecosystem of other people as well and how they build their careers. So when you have your conversations and when you go through this afternoon thinking about careers, don't just think about what's it going to do for me. Think about how your career is going to support everybody else around you. Because going back right to the start, it is about further together. If you do well in your career, everybody else will do well in theirs. So enjoy your food, enjoy the rest of your day, but most importantly, just think about how we are going to help you achieve the best that you can be, because that's all I can do in my job. Thank you all very much indeed.
Thanks for listening to the Research Culture Uncovered podcast. Please subscribe so you never miss out on our brand new episodes. And if you're enjoying the discussions, give us some love by dropping a 5-star rating and written review, as it helps other research culturists find us. And please share with a friend and show them how to subscribe. Thanks for listening, and here's to you and your research culture.